Acts chapter 11, also chapter 13, and also chapter 14. In Acts chapter 11, we'd like to read verses 20 through verse 26. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, that is, at Antioch, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Then in chapter 13, to read verses 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, that's the church we just read about in Acts chapter 11. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And then in chapter 14, read verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. These verses that we have read for our text record how, beginning with Acts chapter 11, that the word of God was preached in Antioch. We see the results of that preaching. The end result was that there was a church that was organized in Antioch. And then in Acts chapter 13, that we see that same church sending forth or sending out Barnabas and Paul, which would be the first of three missionary journeys made by Paul. The first missionary journey, the events of that journey, are recorded beginning with verse 5 of chapter 13 and ending with what we read there in chapter 14, verse 27, when Paul and Barnabas returned to the church and gave a report what the Lord had done during that first missionary journey. We read back in Acts 11, verse 26, that the disciples there in Antioch were called Christians. That's the first time, that's the first place that they were referred to as Christians. And what is recorded from Acts chapter 11, verse 20 through verse 28 of chapter 14 is a picture. Is a picture of apostolic Christianity. Really, the entire book of Acts is a picture of apostolic Christianity. You'll notice in your Bibles it's referred to as the book is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. That is the actions of the apostles who were the first church. That is the steps, the movements, the behavior, the conduct of the apostles. So as you read through the book of Acts, you get a pretty good picture of Christianity in the days of the apostles. And as you read through the book of Acts, it's somewhat sad because you cannot help but see that vast changes, drastic changes, have taken place and have overtaken what we call Christianity today. What we call Christianity today is nothing like the Christianity that we see throughout the book of Acts. A vast change has taken place. In fact, what is called Christianity today, for the most part, is not even connected with Jesus Christ. It's not even connected with Christ. Modern day American Christianity is almost completely different from what Jesus Christ preached and practiced. The subject tonight is apostolic Christianity versus modern Christianity. And what a difference that there is. An interesting talk this week with Brother Ted Tweet. He was a missionary to Honduras for 21 years and is now pastoring in Alabama. And I asked him Friday morning there in the motel if he noticed a big difference between churches in Honduras and churches in the United States. And his response was that Christianity or spirituality in the Lord's churches was even less than he expected. And he said, "Brother, I wasn't expecting much. And it is less than I expected." And that's where we are. That's where we are for the most part today. And we see that these individuals were called Christians. They were called Christians. There was a believing and there was a turning to the Lord. These that were called Christians believed, and as a result of believing, turned unto the Lord. We read in Acts 11 and verse 21, "And a great number believed and turned to the Lord." So they believed, and as a result, there was a change. There was a change in their direction. They turned to the Lord. That means their direction has been changed. That means that their course has been changed. This is where true Christianity begins, with a believing and turning unto the Lord. It's not just a believing. It is a believing that results in a turning. Now, so-called modern-day Christianity has adopted a belief in Christ that does not necessarily include a turning to Christ. But biblical Christianity knows nothing of that sort. There is always a believing and a turning. A believing and a change of direction. People want us to believe today that they are Christians, and yet their direction has not been changed. They're still going in the same direction they've always gone in. We see also that these that were called Christians, the grace of God was visible in their lives. We read in verse 23, that Barnabas, when he came to Antioch, saw the grace of God. It was by the grace of God they believed. It was by the grace of God they turned to the Lord. And this grace that caused them to believe, this grace that caused them to turn, was something that could be observed by the human eye. Barnabas saw the grace of God. It was something that could be recognized by man. In other words, what Barnabas saw was he saw evidence that they had believed and that they had turned unto Christ. And these are the ones that are referred to as Christians or followers of Christ. He saw the grace of God. That means that he saw a very definite difference in their lives. And these are the individuals, again, that are referred to as Christians. He saw a difference in their talk. He saw a difference in their walk. He saw a difference in the way that they thought. He saw the grace of God in their lives. He observed their daily routines. And as he observed their daily routines, he saw the grace of God in their lives. This was something that he could see. He observed them in their daily associations. And in so doing, he saw the grace of God. He observed them in their daily business practice. And in so doing, he saw the grace of God. He listened to their daily conversations. And as he listened to those conversations, he saw the grace of God. He saw the grace of God in their attitudes. As he observed them dealing and handling their trials and their difficulties and their sufferings, he saw the grace of God. In other words, as he looked upon these individuals, the one thing that distinguished them from everybody else was that grace had made a difference in their lives. And these are the individuals that are referred to as Christians. Today, people want to refer to themselves as Christians, and the grace of God has made no difference in their lives whatsoever. And if you are to observe their life, you do not see the grace of God. If you were to observe their everyday life, you do not see a difference. You do not see the grace of God. Modern day Christianity wants us to believe that evidence and a difference in life are not a necessity for the grace of God. But the Bible knows nothing of that kind of Christianity. And that's the kind of so-called Christianity that is so commonplace today. So they were called Christians. And I believe they were called Christians by their enemies. They were called Christians by the people of Antioch. That is, they were followers of Christ. Why were they called Christians? Because they followed Christ. And they were given a label due to the fact that they followed Jesus Christ. But today's brand of Christianity has nothing to do with following Jesus Christ. You see, to follow Christ is to love him. To follow Christ is to be separated unto Christ. It is to give Jesus Christ preeminence. And the ones who followed him, the ones who loved him, the ones who were separated unto him, the ones who gave him preeminence, they were called Christians. Today, just about anybody is referred to as a Christian. But in those days, a follower of Christ was referred to as a Christian. There is a brand of Christianity today that does not even have an interest in Jesus Christ. And that is the brand of Christianity that is being promoted today. There is a brand of Christianity that allows plenty of room for self, for living for self, for just doing whatever it is that makes you happy. There is a brand of Christianity that makes plenty of room for human reasoning and philosophy, plenty of room for the world, plenty of room for the world's ways. This brand of Christianity is a broad way. But the Bible knows nothing of that sort of Christianity. This brand of Christianity that is being promoted today is sterile. It's barren. It's lifeless. There is absolutely nothing to it. The truth is, modern Christianity is paralyzed with preoccupation with this world. Because the modern day brand of Christianity makes plenty of room. Plenty of room for whatever sin you want to enjoy. Makes plenty of room for it. Plenty of room for whatever life you want to live. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how immoral and ungodly it is. The modern day brand of Christianity makes room for all of these things. But biblical Christianity knows nothing of the sort. So we're going to look tonight at these chapters, beginning with chapter 13. And we want to see the activity of apostolic Christianity. And if you were to follow Paul through his second and third missionary journeys, you would basically see the same things that you see in the first missionary journey. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are sent out by the church in Antioch. Again, the members of this church were called Christians. The members of this church were followers of Jesus Christ. And Paul and Barnabas are sent out under the direction and under the authority of this church in Antioch. And everything that Paul and Barnabas did, beginning with verse 5, on that first missionary journey, manifests true Christianity. It shows us the activity of true Christianity. We are so far removed from apostolic Christianity that we don't really even know anymore what Christianity really is. We've lost sight of what it really is. But as you read through these verses, and we're certainly not going to read all of these verses, but there is a vast difference between the activity of apostolic Christianity and the passive lifestyle of the modern brand of Christianity. Christianity today is very, very passive. Very much so. Lord's churches, for the most part, are very passive. But modern day Christianity is anything, or apostolic Christianity is anything but passive. Now notice, first of all, that Paul and Barnabas and the church of Antioch felt that they were under a mandate from heaven. We see that in the first four verses of Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas in the church of Antioch felt the leading, the guiding, the direction of the Holy Spirit. And this put them under the mandate of heaven. Notice in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, the church there at Antioch, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work, not just for any work, not just for whatever they felt like doing, but for the work whereunto I have called them. Spirit of God spoke. They felt the convicting power of the Spirit of God. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And as you read through to the end of chapter 14, when they return back to the church and give their report, you cannot help but see that serving the Lord was their main vocation. To the members in the church of Antioch, serving the Lord was the main vocation. Serving the Lord was not a sideline. Serving the Lord was the main thing. And they were called Christians. True Christianity, serving the Lord, is the main thing. Now, the main thing, whatever the main thing is in our lives, is the foundation upon which you and I base our decisions. What decisions we make go back to the main thing in our life, whatever that is. It is what we allocate our time to, the main thing. It's what we use our resources for, the main thing. It is the realization of our main calling that keeps everything in perspective. The reason folks have lost perspective is because they have lost sight of their main vocation. And our main vocation is to serve the Lord. It is the realization of our main calling that enables us to loosen our grip on the things of this world and yield to Christ. It is the realization of our main calling that enables us to assign a proper value to the things of the world. It is because we have lost the sight of our main calling that we assign a false value and that we overvalue the things of the world. So a Christian is one who realizes their main calling, their main vocation, which is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is our main calling that helps us to concentrate our effort and to concentrate our energy upon what is important. Our main calling determines where I live. It determines where I live. It also determines how I live. Our main calling determines the decisions we make. It determines the choices we make. But today's brand of Christianity is anything but the main thing. It's a sideline. It's way, 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 way down on the list, if you can even find it on the list. But apostolic Christianity, serving the Lord is the main thing. Paul and Barnabas, the church of Antioch, believed that they were under the mandate of heaven. And that belief caused them to live their life completely different. We see also that the Word of God was their standard. In verse 5 of chapter 13, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And from verse 14 through 41 of chapter 13, and also when you get into chapter 14 as well, you see Paul and Barnabas going from place to place, doing what? declaring the word of God. That's what Christians do. Christians declare the word of God. Christians cannot keep quiet the message. And Paul and Barnabas were not concerned whether or not the people wanted to hear the word of God. They told them anyway. They were not concerned whether or not if it made them uncomfortable. I mean, I've been told by individuals to go visit their dying loved one, but you know, be careful how you present the gospel. I don't want them to get angry, and I don't want to make them uncomfortable. They're going to hell. And you're worried about them getting angry. And you're worried about them being uncomfortable. You need to just be concerned about them hearing the word of God. And Brother Dan, if you see that they're getting upset, just change the subject. They're going to hell. And you have no problem just changing the subject because they're uncomfortable. Paul and Barnabas, everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. And they left the results to God. Wherever they went, no matter what happened, they declared the word of God. No matter what the situation, they declared the word of God. You'll notice some people, they'll always say, well, I thought about talking to them about the Lord, but I just didn't feel it was the time. And if you talk to them long enough, it's never the time. I mean, the time is never right to declare the word of God in their mind. But Paul and Barnabas, they just declared the word of God. When they went into the synagogue, they declared the word of God. When they were in the midst of the ungodly and the filthy, they declared the word of God. Because the word of God was their standard. But it goes beyond that. They were always declaring the word of God because they believed it. They believed the message of the word of God. And they believed that everyone needed to hear that message. As Christians, we ought not only believe the message of the book, we need to also believe that everyone needs to hear what is written in this book. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. And Paul and Barnabas and the church of Antioch were committed to declaring the message of the word of God. But today, there is a brand of Christianity that wants nothing to do with the word of God. They don't want anything to do with the word of God. There is a brand of Christianity today that offers people nothing. That offers them absolutely nothing. Churches today, there are many of them preaching a message that is nothing. And they offer nothing. And they refer to that as Christianity. How many funerals we have been to? And the one doing the funeral has offered absolutely nothing. And it is done in the name of Christianity. Well, we don't want to offend. They declared the message everywhere they went. There is a brand of Christianity today that offers whatever man wants to hear. They go into a community, they take a survey of the community to find out what people are looking for in a church, and then they pattern the church according to that survey. And they do all of that in the name of Christianity. Paul and Barnabas didn't do it that way. Can you imagine? Paul and Barnabas going through the towns, taking a survey of what people wanted in church. Well, the thought never crossed their mind. Today, there is a brand of Christianity that seeks to conceal what is written in the book. Because if they openly declared what was in the book, they might have a mass exodus from their church building. So we will conceal what is written. There is a brand of Christianity today that argues against the Word of God, that has ideas that are contrary to the Word of God. And there is a brand of Christianity today that even mocks the Word of God. And again, it's all done in the name of Christianity. There is a brand of Christianity today that opposes, that stands in opposition to the Word of God. But the truth is, any arguments against the Word of God are fallacies. They're fallacies. Anything contrary to the Word of God is a delusion. And any mockery of the Word of God is just sheer madness. It's craziness. And yet all of these things today are done in the name of Christianity. In fact, there is a brand of Christianity that not only neglects the Word of God, but rejects it and denies the inspiration of the Word of God, and they call themselves Christians. And they have no qualms about calling themselves Christians. I'm not interested. I am not the slightest bit interested in the new brand of Christianity. I am not the slightest bit interested in the modern brand of Christianity. Give me the old brand. That's what I want. I want the old brand of Christianity. The brand that we find in the book of Acts. That's what we want tonight. Because it's not our duty. It's not Christianity's duty to accommodate the world. It's not Christianity's duty to make the world feel good about themselves. It's not even Christianity's duty to make God acceptable. It's Christianity's duty to declare God as He is. It's not our duty to make Him acceptable. It's not our duty to make the doctrines of the Word of God acceptable. It is the duty of Christianity to declare what God says. And we're not to worry about acceptability. We're not to worry about accommodating. You see, it's not our duty to make the Lord's churches more acceptable. It's Christians' duty to do the business of the Lord. That's our duty. Not to make it more acceptable. It's our duty to serve the Lord. So what they did was they simply declared what was written. That's what we are to do today. That's what we are to do today. Simply declare what is written. We see also that their lives and message, and this is so much different than modern day Christianity. Their lives and message were a challenge and even a confrontation. We see what they had. Paul and Barnabas, the church of Antioch, the apostles in the book of Acts, was like a fire. It was like a sword. The lives that they lived, the message that they preached, caused a clamor, caused an uproar, caused a commotion. The message they preached and the lives they lived caused unrest, caused an upheaval, and caused the ungodly to be quite agitated. Their message was confrontational. Today, in the modern brand of Christianity, it's anything but confrontation. Notice in chapter 13, verse 49 and verse 50. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them, kicked them out of their coast. Now, today's brand of Christianity, don't do anything to get kicked out. Because if you get kicked out, then you can't preach to them anymore and you won't be of any benefit to them. But you see, if you don't preach anything to keep from getting kicked out, you're still not benefiting them. So they preached in a way that caused a commotion. We need a little commotion today. We really do. In verse 2 of chapter 14, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. In verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, this is quite different from modern day Christianity. Quite different from that brand of Christianity that wants to make the ungodly feel warm and fuzzy all over. Oh, we want them to feel so good about themselves that they come back. Oh, we want them to come back. Don't misunderstand me. But you do not adjust the message to get them to do so. And Paul and Barnabas just preached the word of God. And every time they preached the word of God, there was a confrontation. There was a stirring. Somebody got angry. Somebody got upset. There was an agitation. Notice in chapter 13 again, going back to verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And let me tell you, Paul wasn't worried about this man feeling all warm and fuzzy. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou child of the devil, the enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now that's confrontation. You tell somebody they are a child of the devil, you're going to have a confrontation. You tell them that they are the enemy of all righteousness, and you're going to have a confrontation. But it's true. The devil does have his children, and we come into contact with them all the time. And there are the enemies of righteousness. And we come into contact with them. Do we challenge them? Apostolic Christianity did. Well, we don't want to offend them. We need to challenge them. And we challenge them by, I'm not talking about being rude, I'm just talking about speaking the truth. Preaching the truth. They confronted the world's ways. What churches have done, perhaps the last 50 years or more, is they have taken up a defensive position where we try to defend from the world coming in. But if you read in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus, talking about his church, said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates were defensive. It was fortifications. Gates are not offensive. They are defensive. So that very phrase, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, means that the church is to be on the offense. And all the defenses of the world, all the defenses of hell, cannot stand against it. But somewhere along the line, modern day Christianity decided to take up a defensive position rather than an offensive position. But we see Paul and Barnabas, they confronted the world's ways. When they saw error, they confronted it. When they saw evil, they confronted it. When they saw darkness, they confronted it. When they saw impurity, they confronted it. When they saw idolatry, and when they saw paganism and heathenism and secularism, they confronted these things. That's apostolic Christianity. Quite a difference from the passive brand of Christianity that is being peddled today. We see also that apostolic Christianity was divisive. Notice verse 4 of chapter 14. But the multitude of the city was divided. This was after Paul spoke boldly in the Lord. The multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Their message was divisive. Quite different from the brand of Christianity that seeks unity at all cost. That seeks to bring together believers and unbelievers. That seeks to bring together righteousness and unrighteousness, light and darkness, and Christ and Belial. We see Paul and Barnabas preached, and there was a division. There was a division. This modern day Christianity is contrary to the ministry of Christ. Matthew 10, verse 34 and 35, we're running out of time, but you turn there and you can read that, and we see that Jesus Christ came to send a sword, to set father and son at variance, to set mother and daughter at variance. The message of Jesus Christ is divisive. You either believe it or you do not. There is a division. Wherever truth is preached, there is division. Unless everybody agrees with the truth, there is going to be division. They weren't worried about it. They preached the message, and it was divisive. So you see, their message, their lives, caused a clamor. Caused an uproar, caused a commotion, caused an unrest. The world today is not used to God's people speaking up. They're not used to that. And if there's any rumblings that God's people are beginning to stir, the world gets very upset. They're not used to it happening. They ought to be used to it. They need to be. We see also, and we'll hurry on here, they were bold and they were courageous. We see this in chapter 13. We see it again in verse 3 of chapter 14. Quite different from today's brand of Christianity, which is timid, apprehensive, basically gutless. Quite a difference between apostolic Christianity. We see also that they had an unquenchable commitment. In chapter 13, in verse 50, we see that they are expelled out of the coast. And then in verse 51 and 52, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and went unto another city called Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And when they arrived in Iconium, Paul and Barnabas did not hold a meeting saying, you know, we just got kicked out of the last town we were in. We need to tone it down a little bit because we don't want to get kicked out of Iconium also. So Barnabas, let's tone it down a little bit. And that way we won't get kicked out. Never crossed their mind. Never crossed their mind. They go into Iconium and they proceeded to do the very same thing that they were just expelled for. And then they went to Lystra and they went to Derbe and they preached the same message again. You notice that in verses 19 through 21 of chapter 14. And when they, notice in verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, which persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They didn't tone down the message. This time they weren't expelled. They were stoned and then cast out of the city. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, I love the next three words. He rose up. He rose up. And he rose up and he continued to do the very thing that he was stoned for. He did not quit because they were committed. They were committed to the message. They were committed to a way of life. They were committed to following Jesus Christ. And he rose up. And he continued doing the same thing. This is quite different from the brand of Christianity today, that it doesn't take much for God's people to give up. It doesn't take much today for God's people to say, well, it must not be the Lord's will for us to be here. It doesn't take much. Just the slightest difficulty. And God's people, for the most part, are ready to move. But apostolic Christianity just kept on going because they were committed. Well, I've heard missionaries stand up and say, well, you know, we prayed about such and such a place to open a mission, and we looked for several weeks, and we couldn't find a building, so it wasn't the Lord's will for us to go there. Well, isn't that amazing? Because they couldn't find a building, it's the Lord's will for you not to go there. That's not a good criteria to determine the Lord's will. Well, we went and knocked on doors, and you know, the people weren't real receptive. Well, let me tell you something. If you're looking for a place where everybody's receptive, you're not going to do anything. That's not how you determine God's will. Certainly not how Paul and Barnabas determined it. They were stoned, left for dead, and they continued on. We today so desperately need to return to apostolic Christianity. Remember the 12. They turned the world upside down with their doctrine. Everywhere they went, they declared what they believed. And word began to spread, these folks are nuts. Why, they believe such and such. Everybody around ought to know what we believe. And they ought to know not because they come into this building. They ought to know because the members, everywhere they go, tell people what we believe. And word gets around. We need a return to the old style of Christianity. We face mighty enemies. We face huge obstacles every step of the way. In modern day Christianity, modern day American Christianity will not work. It will not do. It's a farce. It's a laughingstock. The world is not even afraid. They're not even concerned. The new brand of Christianity will not do. What we need today is real Christianity. Real followers of Jesus Christ. Authentic Christianity. Oh, we ought to take delight in that title, Christian. But we ought never to use that title lightly. Christian. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who puts Jesus Christ above all else. Don't dare take the name Christian unless you're going to follow Jesus Christ. It's just like today, a lot of folks take the name Baptist. They have no idea what a Baptist is. There's a lot of folks today that take the name Christian. They have no idea what a Christian is. It's a follower of Jesus Christ. It is someone who is willing to give their life for Jesus Christ. It is someone who is not going to give up and not going to quit following Christ because it gets a little difficult. In fact, that spurs them to do it even more. Quite a difference today between apostolic Christianity and modern day Christianity. Go into some of the so-called Christian bookstores today and look what's on the shelves. It's pitiful. It's truly pitiful because the world knows nothing about real Christianity. And the only way they can know is if you and I show them what real Christianity is all about. So we need to live a life of a Christian. Every single one of us ought to dedicate our lives, we ought to commit ourselves to live a Christian life, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To show the world, to show all our lost acquaintances what a Christian really is. Well, Larry, if you'd come and lead us.